Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are. Are we on a podcast?
We're on a podcast.
You tell me, brother.
An audio podcast. We are on it.
Yes, we are.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it is.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back to Ned's Pod Extras, unsupervised.
Hey, I'm here.
That's right. We have Lauren back in the stew.
Supervised by Gen Z.
We have our Gen Z.
I'm not a teen.
Not anymore.
Oh, you're not a teen.
That's right.
So we're just
20.
Old.
I turned the...
You turned that corner.
All right. Then the fan we're hearing from today, her name is Kira Taylor.
Kira.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kira Taylor, and I am from Florida. My question for Lindsay, Devin, and Daniel is, when you were a child actor, were there any times at all that you felt like you didn't get the accommodations that you desperately needed, whether it was that you were sick or that you just needed a break because, well, you're a child and acting is stressful, or just anything in general? And how did you deal with that? I want to know the true realities. I just want to say I'm a huge fan. Of course, love Ned's Declassified. Love you all. Grew up with you guys. I'm 24. And I'm trying to personally get into acting and have seen the accommodations with being in the acting industry is not very good because I have cystic fibrosis. And I want to know, like, what the true reality is. Thank you.
Thanks, Kira.
I love your voice.
I know. Yeah, immediately awesome. Endearing.
I was like,
I know that voice. Immediately. Thanks, Kira.
Thanks so much for writing in.
Yeah.
What accommodations?
Hey, that's really
there are
what
no
it should
accommodations
be.
What in this accommodations? Industry. Turn around and go the other way, please. For the love of God.
So, I have one story that comes to mind. But what do you guys feel?
I mean, you know, actors. You know, sometimes we can complain, or you know, I mean, it is like easy street. In a lot of ways, because you get, you know, free crafty usually in certain circumstances.
Food.
Delicious food every day. Usually you have a trailer. That trailer's just kind of like a little box. There's nothing glamorous. I've never been in a trailer that I actually enjoyed. I'm just going to say
that.
Yeah,
they don't feel glamorous. It's just a private area for you.
It's private. So you feel special that someone gave you a little rank over other people who are just out there freezing in the cold.
There's assistants running around who will get you water or soda at any point.
Yeah, so there are perks to it for sure. Yeah.
But the mind bend is that... Mm. It's all in service of something greater than you, which is the show, which is the project, which is all the money on the line, which is everybody's jobs, right? Mm-hmm. And so I can't do it.
Yeah, don't.
And so while people care about you just on like a human level, it's through the lens of there is still a very big money production that needs to be finished with you in your best self as you are. So that's... In essence, why we're treating you this way, just really, really well. It's so that it's all superficial and it's all sort of a little.
We wouldn't do this for you.
It's just how it is.
We wouldn't do it for you if you weren't a part of this large project.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that is kind of, that was hard to come to terms with because whether the people care about you or not, it's just a mind shift to think like the project is what needs to be finished. All right. I'll go back to this time when I was shooting Teen Spirit. I took a bunch of Percocet, woke up, thrown up, couldn't work, had to work all night on this night scene with, like, I was in a performance scene, so it was, like, I had to do shit. And I remember them being like, okay, all right, just get her to the doctor, give her a steroid shot, she'll be fine. And so I was, like, incapacitated, like could not stand in the shit, like, could not, so they gave me this steroid shot, and then I went to set, and I worked 12 hours, and I was okay. And that's what happened. So yes, they definitely looked after me, but I mean, nobody's going to like stop your drug problem. Exactly. Yeah. Like in the short term, they are looking after you. So, but cystic fiber, I mean, that's just another, that's crazy. Something else to juggle in the whole crazy.
Yeah. I'll say like, yo, making movies and television, it's long hours. It's hard. There are so many moving parts. I understand productions. The production has a job to do. That's incredibly difficult. Every production goes over budget, so they're stressed trying to cut corners, if you miss a day because someone's sick, like, you can't. Mm-hmm. The schedules are what they are.
So tight.
There's no show or movie has extra time built in. You're under the wire and overtime on every single project.
Yeah.
So there is this hard success rate. Like, you can't fully stop because a kid's having a bad day. It's not how it works. But also, when you're a kid actor, I think most of us, you don't want to stop, and you want to be good for everyone.
Right.
You don't want
people pleasing.
Like on Ned's, I feel like all of us worked with fevers before.
Oh yeah.
Not because they forced us, but because we're like, no, I can do it. Like, I'm okay.
It was tied to your self-worth, yeah.
I didn't feel that was when your mom had to walk me around the building for my period. Oh my God, my first period cramps, dude. And I was like, you want me to get up, like, during this? I remember, like, they let me stay for, like, an hour in my dressing room. And I was like, but I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And this is
I'm dying.
Painful. And then your mom was like, girl, you got to get up. Let's walk.
Yeah. Because it's this hard, at its best form, it's a balance between, like, caring for the kid actors and getting the job done.
Right.
Yep.
And luckily, we were on Ned's. Like, they did care about the fact that we were kids. And they treated us with a level of, like, respect that we are still children.
Right.
I don't feel like they, like, forced us to be adults. I think that probably happens on some sets where they're just like, who cares? Fucking come do your job, bitches.
Yeah. No, but sometimes there are poorly adjusted adults. And there are these weird, like, classist situations that can arise on sets. When I did Zeke and Luther, where I was a little bit older, you know, so I wasn't getting that same kid treatment.
Uh-huh.
I remember there was this, and I love this guy, but I hated him that day. His name was Lee. He was an assistant director. If you guys don't really know about the occupations on set, usually that assistant director is there cracking the whip, making sure that everybody is on schedule and where they need to be so that the director can get a shot. But I remember I showed up to work not late. I was there on time, but I had a freaking burrito in my hand, and I'm eating, and it's almost time to shoot. Then I went on a bit of a tangent. It's almost time to shoot, but the other actors aren't ready, so I'm just there on set standing, you know, I'm standing in my position on my mark, eating my burrito, and he comes up. He's flustered at everybody else because they're late, and he says, no, there's no time to eat. And we were first seen up, and he slaps the burrito out of my hand.
No. Are you serious?
Yo, I was like, big dog, Lee, I don't know what kind of day you having, bruh. You're going to get me another burrito right now, and I'm going to finish it before we start. You thought we were late before? Now we're late, big dog.
Stop!
I'm going to enjoy every fragment of this burrito. I'm not dropping
a
piece of it, dog.
No way. Just smacked that fucking meal out of my hand.
And I was like, I was 17.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't a kid, but I was like, bro, not tight, dog. And you know, my dad wasn't having it. He was pissed. He was
dude, sweet. No, that's over
no,
the line.
No, that's over
that's
the line.
That's way too
yeah,
much.
Way over the
for
line.
Sure. Sure.
No, I love you, Dan. Place. Did you seriously like?
Oh yeah, no. And he wouldn't got me my burrito. I wanted to be like, no. I didn't ask you to have Raina make it.
Oh,
you're making me a burrito.
You had Raina?
No, we didn't. I'm just saying. But Raina was my favorite crab server.
My God,
that's over the line.
And
that's
Daniel absurd. Literally yeah. never. At, like, I feel like you would never ask for something like
no
like that, but like when you're standing on business like
I had
that,
to stand
that
on business
crazy.
I'm like, nah, big dog, no, you out of line.
Wow. And what
line.
Did he say? Like, what was his line. Like, what was his face?
Huh? He was just fuming. He was so mad at so many other things, and right. I have a heart for people who are like
right.
stressed. So
yeah,
I was like,
but he
I
can't
get
take it.
It
out on you.
But nah, big dog.
Mm-mm, no.
That's, no. Uh-uh. And I can't set the precedent that that's okay.
Right.
No.
Right.
No. And then there's this other side of acting where there are there are actors who ask for too much.
Too much, yeah.
And
divas.
I think we've all experienced this. In my experience, they get everything. Mm-hmm. And then they get treated really sweetly by everyone on the production because they have to, because they're divas. So they're asking for a lot. They're fragile. They need to be taken care of. They get treated really, really sweetly. And then actors like me who, like, don't need anything from fucking anybody you kind of get like pushed off, to the side, and I'm like, do I need to be a dick?
The squeaky wheel gets the grease sometimes, you know.
But there's really not that much to be squeaking about.
Yeah. The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Gets the grease.
So if you're not speaking up for yourself, sometimes you will get taken advantage of, and that's where there's that weird conundrum of maybe I have to lean into this diva vibe so that people don't, you know, treat me unfairly.
Yeah, sometimes you got to let people know. But overall, it depends on the set. It depends on how you're taking care of yourself as a kid actor. It depends on who your parent is and how they are on set. It depends on who the tutor is, who's the welfare worker for the children on set. Like, all of that goes into play for how your experience is going to be as a kid actor. But we were treated mostly great.
Oh, yeah. On Ned's, yeah
for now sure. It's a bit different, too, because of COVID. So if you're sick or so signs of sickness, they don't let you come into work. You can't suck it up.
Whoa.
And I deal with it. A lot of my friends on Disney right now, they're like, I had a friend that shut down production on a pilot because he got COVID.
Oh. Damn.
So.
Yo, I missed some work because of COVID. I had booked these little guest stars and they're like, it was because I hadn't had my shot yet. And then. Yeah, but never mind. Let's not talk about that.
Dude, I got my vax quickly because of that. If SAG needs us, like, cool, give it to. Like, I'm not gonna argue with the fucking.
I wasn't gonna
SAG
argue. I just hadn't. I hadn't made the
you just
move.
Hadn't gone
yet,
and done it yet.
You know.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, really?
Yep. Yeah. No, when I heard they had that, I'm like, okay, I want to work.
Same.
I want to work.
I need that moolah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
cool.
Dude, great. Thanks for calling in.
Calling in.
Thanks.
All right.
Oh, and
send us your tapes.
And to you wanting to be an actor, I will say just very briefly, I absolutely love acting and I will pursue it for the rest of my life. It is unbelievably challenging to find your way in, and it is specific. There's no one path. It's specific to all of us how you start to find your way towards whatever that version of acting looks like for you, whatever the dream is for you. It's incredibly difficult to pursue. It also, I love it. So I love it more than I'm bothered by it. And as long as that stays the case, I'll pursue it for the rest of my life. So go for it if you feel that call. Just know it's like, it's a weird thing to pursue because there's no... like door that you just go and walk through and
no
start
simple procedure.
Putting in your time and make your way into the, like, it's weird, right? Yeah. It's this amorphous thing that you have to just come, start loving it, make connection. It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah.
So go for it if you love it, and find your way.
I love that. And to speak to that as well, I would say, just like so acting is like a relationship, right? And so just like any good relationship, it can't be your only tent pole. I was told that. I'll never forget that. It can't be the only thing that you prop your life up against. Like, we need other things of comparable value to you to fill your life with. And I think if that's one thing that's one thing I would have changed is having boundaries on this lifestyle and on this relationship, right? And it's like, oh, I'm an actor, it's a lifestyle. Yes, it's a lifestyle, but you have to like prop up your life before you can have a style to it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, just keep your life in all areas fulfilled. Keep something outside of this business for you to fall to when you feel safe.
Yeah.
Like anything.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And again, the art, like you say, is different from the business.
Industry.
You know, but yeah, you got this thing, man. You out there surviving. We love to hear it.
Yeah, thank you.
Kira.
Thanks, Kira.
Kira.
All right, next one comes from Hannah Daniels.
Hannah Daniels.
Love that last name.
Hannah Daniels, Montana.
Daniels.
Hey there, my name is Hannah, and I want to talk for a second about the killer sound effects and music in Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. The music and the sound effects really took this show over the edge for me. It really made it stand out among the other shows that were on TV then and are still on TV.
Mm-hmm.
This really made this show into a living cartoon for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still sing the la 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 Ned's running out of time song all the time because it's so funny. I teach high school theater, and I love using Ned's in the classroom to show students how That's you dope. Can use things like music and sound effects to really enhance your storytelling.
Amazing.
I also use the show to show examples of stock characters like Seth the jock or Lisa the nerd. Aww. And I love teaching students about Neds because my students nowadays didn't grow up with it. And I love to see how they also get so excited about it and they love it as well. So thank you so much for all that you're doing. Thanks for the... for bringing us all back together through this podcast. Love you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, Hannah Daniels.
Oh. Thank you.
Oh, that was just a shot of joy right there.
Wow, wow. Joyous infusion. That's so perfect.
That is so cool knowing you show your high school students Neds. I love amazing. This. And yes. like use it as a reference for learning storytelling and theater and all of it. That's amazing, man.
I've always said this about Neds. It's like we hit that that amped up velocity, you know what I mean, where it's like, you know, all the screens and this and that. Now I feel like Scott like hit that right in the 2004 mark where it's like, and that's why it still stands up. It's so fast paced, there's so much stimulation.
No, Neds is, I mean, you nailed it, Hannah. Neds is a live action cartoon. Like it is built as a cartoon. Cartoons in, you know, normal episodes of a comedy are 22 minutes. Cartoons are 2 11-minute plot lines, like full standalone plot lines. That's a cartoon structure. That's Neds. We're not a 22-minute episode. We're 2 11-minute plots. It literally is a live-action cartoon with the sound effects and the music and how over the top it is. That was Scott's vision for the show, and we all agree it is what makes it stand apart from other shows of that time and even now. It just has a unique style. That's Scott Fellows. Said, hey, why not do a cartoon with people?
Well, and it just speaks to the brain and live action, you know what I mean? Seeing,
And it creates this world of, you know, when you're speaking to children specifically, like I always talk about the world of wonder that we kind of lose when we get older. You know, we had these superhuman abilities on that show. Our characters are falling from the ceiling and surviving.
All those things cartoons can do.
Just like cartoons. And Scott came from what? He was a writer on Fairly Odd Parents. And
Doug, I think.
He took from all that and really, you know, he trusted us to be the vehicles for that, man. It was great working that show. And, dude, it's so great that just because we weren't highbrow comedy, we can still get a little bit of, you know, respect, you know, from people, you know, actually teaching courses on acting. That's great. I love it.
That is so super cool. And also, lost the plot.
Perfect. Well, doing our rewatches, like our slapstick cartoon humor holds up, like it makes it sort of timeless because that type of humor is just so broad. It's not specific to a time. It's slapstick. And like, as we've done our rewatch, I'm like, oh, this shit still makes me laugh. Like the dumb over the top dummies legs flopping around and the funny sound effects, like still make me giggle now. So I think it's part of its longevity too.
Amen.
Yo, we got to teach a college course on Neds Declassified.
Hey. Why not? I think there have been college courses on or around, like Scott Fellows said, like family members would send him like certain things.
Oh, I've seen kids like do like what do you call those things?
A pour of paint.
It's been so long.
A pour of paint.
You click the thing and it makes PowerPoints. Yeah, I've seen kids.
How could he not get that from what I was saying?
Wait, pour paint.
Pour paint.
Pour paint. Yes, PowerPoints. You know, so I've seen some of those little seminars or whatever, but. I'm serious. We got to do a college course on...
Yeah, that'd be fun.
You are like one of the first people to point out the soundtrack and sound effects of Neds.
Yeah.
So right on. Yeah. Right on, Huge. Hannah. Thank you.
Thanks, Hannah Daniels.
What about comedy did you learn from doing the show? Like, was it timing? Was it behind the scenes comedy?
Timing's big.
Timing's big.
I would say the timing thing's big, but also the actors we were working with. Mm. Darren Norris, Jim J. Bullock, like... Particularly those funny fuckers, Mr. Monroe and Gordy, for those of you who don't know their names. Working with those guys and with Scott, I just feel like kind of timing, and because Neds is so broad, learning to go for it.
Yeah.
Like not being safe or reserved, like fucking send it.
Yeah. I remember the first moment I learned that. It was when I... looked up at the sky and I yelled, one bite.
Right.
And it was like my first moment of like being out of my comfort zone and then realizing, oh my God, I love that space.
Yeah, I love that space.
Let's go.
For me, and I, even like, you know, I travel the world teaching like classes, you know, I'll go internationally and do it. And like a principle that I'm always expressing is acting is responding truthfully under imaginary circumstances. Mm-hmm. And from Ned's, that was the first time I really was able to see, oh wait, people can feel this deep sadness from my character over having had someone eat their last piece of meat or something like that. You know, if I go deep into it, you know, it's going to be believable enough for the viewer in the moment, you know. I just love getting people to I guess it would not suspend reality, but be able to go with you on this journey outside of reality and still feel grounded.
Yeah. Some of my favorite comedic actors are actually like unbelievable dramatic actors, and they commit 100% to the reality and the seriousness of the funny situation. Like Gene Wilder is like one of my
favorite. That's what sitcom is, though. Like you play the situation,
not
and
the
out
comedy.
Of that comes the comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
But I think that's missing a lot. I think a lot of comedians, which is, it's just a different flavor of comedy. I think a lot of comedic actors recently, like maybe they come from sketch and improv and stand up, and it's less of the depth of the reality of the acting of the situation and kind of more like funny timing. And it, there's still something to it, but like if it's missing that fucking...
It's impotent. I love using that word for things because it's like it's there, it's structured, but it's impotent because like the things that really need to build it from the core aren't. I don't know. It's entertaining,
right?
But
it's entertaining.
Impotent in the way that like it doesn't make me think about anything later. It doesn't really stick with me.
You know, it's one of my favorite fucking comedy. One of my favorite movies. Period. That if you guys have not watched, please watch The Nice Guys. With Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. Dude, those are two unbelievably successful dramatic actors. Those guys being funny in that movie, it's so good.
Right.
Because they're really in the circumstances and then having fun.
Exactly.
Like, oh my God, is that movie good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice guys. I'll check it out.
Whoa! Nice. Is that peaking or is that?
Why
is
no, it? No. That's because it's a line in. It comes as green.
Okay. No. I just mean the full black.
Oh no! I just bar. Expanded.
Okay. No. You're good. Cool. Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, Hannah Daniels.
Thank you.
Okay. Next question comes from Caroline Ross.
Caroline.
Were there any roles that you auditioned for prior to landing a role in Ned's Classified? And if not, were there any roles that you wish you had auditioned for prior to landing the role in Ned's Declassified?
And to add on to that, like, is there a dream role you have?
Cool.
Well, I'll tell you this. I was at the audition for Catch That Kid, Kristen Stewart's breakout film. Maybe not breakout, but one of the first.
Parallel universe.
And that's when everything started to go downhill. Yes. No, I auditioned for many things. I remember I got really close on this show that was shooting in South Africa. It was like almost like a live action like Thornberries or something like that. And I didn't get that. I was crushed. I remember being on my knees in front of my bed praying to God when I still thought there was one.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Cool. I tested for Escape from Witch Mountain with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I
read with him. And it went to Alexander Ludwig, who's fantastic. That's where I met Alex. But yeah, I tested for that. And I don't think that movie did a ton, but it would have been this was post Ned's, but it would have been a good get for me.
Oh, there's a reboot coming. There's
really?
A show doing I auditioned for.
Oh, holy shit.
But yeah, they're in post right now. People know about it.
Holy shit.
It's a show called Witch Mountain.
Yeah, that would have been something.
Damn. Yeah, lit, man. Something that I actually wanted before Ned's, well, I mean, we had been on a bunch of auditions and acted and stuff.
Yeah, you were in Next Friday
After Next was one that was cool. Got to meet Cat Williams, Ice Cube, so many people.
We should get him on the pod.
Dude, wouldn't that be dope? I'll make the call. So I doubt it. He blew up, man. He got like what, freaking 50 million hits on
from
that
the Shannon
Sharp
pod. Yeah,
what? That's wild.
Dang.
A project that I wanted to be in, I don't know if you guys remember the movie John Q. It was
yes.
a
oh my gosh,
I
yes.
love John
Q. For the kid. I really for wanted his, that part.
Wait, it was that kid in the hospital trying
yeah,
to get the transplant?
In his hospital. This other kid named Daniel ended up booking it. We were really good friends. But actually, my brother was, it was down to him and this Daniel kid. And
wow.
Daniel, I think it was Daniel Smith, ended up getting the role. But I would have loved that. Working with Denzel would have been like
that was
tight.
An incredible
wow.
movie.
Wow.
I love that movie.
Yeah, he what wow. he's like ready to kill the well not
yeah
not
it's
kill.
A father
he wants to save
yeah
his son.
No, yeah his son needs a transplant. They're not gonna give it to him, so he holds the hospital hostage
yeah.
but for his son to get his transplant. What a movie.
That was deep.
I'm not gonna bury my son. My son will bury me.
Yeah.
Oh, Denzel. Denzel, prime Denzel.
Dang.
I had worked before Ned's a little bit. I had done a movie called Recipe for Disaster, my first pilot season in LA, with some people. That was like a nice little indie fun movie where I met some cool people. And then the movie that I worked on that led to me coming from Georgia to Los Angeles before Ned's Declassified was a movie called We Were Soldiers, which was a Mel Gibson movie, a Vietnam War movie directed by Randall Wallace, who directed Braveheart or wrote Braveheart with Mel.
Did you say World War II?
Vietnam.
Oh, you said Vietnam War? I thought that movie was the frick. It was like Revolutionary War.
That's
I'm thinking
the
of
Patriot.
The Patriot.
The Patriot.
Great movie.
Such
great
a good
movie.
One of my favorites.
Great
I
movie.
Love the Patriot.
Incredible film.
Oh, love that
incredible.
Movie.
No, We Were Soldiers is Vietnam. But I played a small part. I played one of his kids in it. But that, booking that movie in Georgia is what led to my agents there saying, hey, maybe you should give LA a try. We have connections out there, and this movie is a good credit, and blah, blah, blah. So that movie led to LA, which led to Recipe for Disaster.
You're such a boppity little fuck in that movie.
Excuse me?
A boppity little fuck.
Excuse me?
Your father, you love him.
Yeah, I'm just like a little kid in the background.
I know, boppity. I loved it.
All right.
I remember you.
Whatever, man.
I remember you on the stairs. There's a scene on the stairs.
There is.
Yeah, and
that movie
stairs.
Was life changing though. I mean, that was a huge cast: Mel Gibson, Madeline Stowe, Greg Kinnear, Chris. There's just so many people in that movie. Sam Elliott. Fuck,
dude, I auditioned for. I'm dating myself, but in Even Stevens, that character.
How's it going?
How's it going? You know, I don't buy myself enough gifts, but this is all right. I think I'll come around. Do you guys remember the character Beans?
Oh yeah,
you auditioned for Beans.
I auditioned for Beans, and I thought that I was gonna get it. And then I saw this guy on the screen. I'm like, oh, there's no way he's perfect for Beans.
Now that's yeah. Beans.
That's Beans.
Beans is iconic, Beans. Dude. Beans yeah. is an iconic character.
Nailed it.
Wow, no way.
You were
that's
the Porkin.
Cool.
Yeah, I didn't have it. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Porkin.
And then there's
Beans.
Been
Porkin. He was Beans.
And then there's
Porkin.
Been so many auditions over the years that like I wanted for sure.
All that.
And a lot
you
that
did
I got
that one too.
Wait, you mean Audiciones?
You did. No, Devin was always
on. All
you were almost. I did for the thing that Christina Kirkman got. I had auditioned for that. It was like a talent search thing they did for
yeah,
the next kid.
All that but something.
You were on That's So Raven. Or no, you would have been on, not That's So Raven. What was the show you were on Disney? No, you were in
shake
the runnings
up,
for a show
up,
on
baby.
Disney. I remember seeing commercials.
Was I?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe you.
There was these commercials. Devin, they showed your auditions.
Shake it up, don't shake
on
it up.
Disney.
I vaguely remember what you're talking about, but I don't remember what it's for.
What
it's all a blur.
It? Oh,
was that after Ned's too?
It
would have to be
right around the yeah, like second season or something.
You
that's
are
weird.
Such
I'm gonna find
boppity.
It. We're gonna find
yeah,
out.
Sure.
We're gonna find out. We're gonna get to the bottom
you
of it.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Thanks boppity for the question.
Theory.
There
thank
were
you, thank you.
There were jobs before Ned's, but Ned's was really you know it. Ned's was really the real beginning. The
wait, Blue's Clues?
We're on Blue's Clues?
No, I did like a Blue's Clues anniversary video like I was me
oh,
as me
oh.
like referencing
blue. Where were we for that too? Nobody was calling.
No,
you're patting your
I
resume.
Love blue.
No, it was it was
blue
me
blue.
Just like the kids choice
were you
award
holding your kids
me.
Choice award singing Schluben Schleiben Schlappen Schluber
Ned's Ultimativer Schulwassen.
Ultimativer Schulwassen.
Do you guys have a role that you like would want to play with, whatever that is, a dream role?
I mean, I think it's amazing, like Christian Serratos, who played Susie Crabgrass on Ned's, getting a role on The Walking Dead. Like, I think that series to work in that universe, I love the stakes of The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. I love the thoughts of entering a show as an actor that the stakes are so high. It's truly life and death. Your character has very clear wants. Like, so something like that would be really rad.
Nope.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie and Salt. I'm going to salt it up.
Want to be a spy? I'm going to salt it up. Want to be a super spy?
I want to be a spy so bad.
Oh, also anything.
I
want to
be an assassin. Mm. I literally want to just kick some ass. Yeah. Some assin.
Yeah.
You know?
I love looking at the word assassin because it's like ass in.
Assassin.
Ass in.
You got dream roles, Daniel?
Some dream roles. Yeah. Ooh.
Like, what would you love to land on?
Superhero type vibe.
No.
Marvel would be great. You feel like no bueno?
I G.I. like Jane. Superhero. That's who I'm going to be. No, I like I'm going to be G.I. Jane.
I'd love to see you.
I want to be a superhero of the planet.
After
of the people,
I finished Zeke and Luther, we were pitching Black Panther. We had like written like scripts, had all these like adaptations to it, and we were pitching that. We had a couple meetings, but it just didn't go anywhere. And then they found the perfect Black Panther.
Oh man, Chadwick. RIP. Did you see the second one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Man,
it was fire.
It was beautiful. I thought it was beautiful.
The send-off was great.
Yeah, the sequel was incredible. Like the way they honored him passing was just like fucking gorgeous, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Man. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for the question. What was her name?
Thanks again.
What question did we just answer?
Courtney.
Caroline.
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 Thank you, Caroline.
Well, and I think that's a pod, guys.
No, let's do one more.
One more.
One more?
Yeah. All right, no, let's do one more. This one comes from
Jenny. Did you ever contradict me on the pod ever?
This one comes from Jenny.
Jenny.
Oh, sorry. Jen.
Did I pronounce that right? Jenny?
Jenny. G-E-N-N-Y.
Jenny.
All right.
Let's hear it, Jenny.
Jenny.
Cookie, if you ever want to stop being a third wheel, hit me up. I could totally be besties with you guys. As like a permanent thing.
Oh.
Wow.
Sorry if that was weird, but really, I just wanted to say, Lindsay, I appreciate how open you have been about your story, journey to recovery. I don't know. I'm proud of you. It's hot. Proud of all of you. Also, fuck Jamie Lynn Spears. I don't put that on the pod. But you know what I'm saying? Fuck that people. I'm just saying.
Jeez.
Should have been y'all. But hit me up.
That's from shot. Jenny.
Jenny, you're Jenny. Dope.
Jenny, yeah, we wanted nice you voice. On
Jenny,
the pod.
Jenny, we love your energy.
And now you are.
Yeah, we love your energy. That was fire. Great.
Can I just say thank you so much? Mm-hmm. That makes me feel really good. And I felt it in your voice, like the pause. And so thanks, Jenny. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you have an emotive voice. Yeah. You have a voice for podcasts.
But
like, I want to listen
back.
To
you.
Yes,
but chill. That
and can I tell you, that was hot shooting your shot with my boy at the
shot
top.
That shot. Well, she just said she could be an extra friend for us, you know, so she didn't actually.
Oh, that's what you took from that, Daniel?
She was shooting her shot.
Yeah, she was shooting her shot.
A little undertone. Yeah.
No, it was overtone.
Just because you're taken doesn't mean people still can't.
Because I'm
at the basket.
I'm an attractive guy, right?
There you go. Yes, you are.
Absolutely. Aim at that basket.
Those weren't undertones, Daniel. It was very apparent.
It was very clear that she wants to.
What was her name again?
Have a joint bank account with you. Huh?
Jenny.
Jenny. All right, Jenny, we're putting a pin in you. Yeah. Circle back.
And maybe more.
Oh, it's more than a pin.
More than a pin. It's pen.
Pen 15.
There we go. Okay, nice. No, sorry. Take that back. It's an insider Lindsay and I have. Okay.
Wow.
Moving on.
Jenny.
Thanks so much for
my
that.
My new sister-in-law.
Good Lord, my girl's going to kill me.
Yeah.
No, Chantel, you know.
Hey, it's all for the
it's
showbiz.
All lies.
That's showbiz, baby. That's showbiz.
Sensationalism.
Right. Thank you for all of you for submitting.
Oh, you ready to go now? Are you ready to go, babe?
You want to do one more?
No.
Oh, but when Dev's ready to go, we got to go.
Are you sure?
When Lindsay's ready to go, we can't
just go. You want to cup your balls for like another 5 fucking seconds?
I just felt like one more.
Okay.
Do you want one more?
No, whatever you want, Daddy.
Okay. That's right. didn't do nothing. thank you for submitting.
It's time to wrap it up. It's time to go.
God damn.
Thank you for submitting your voices. We love hearing from you guys.
Thank you.
If you didn't get your voice picked, try again next time when we open up submissions. Smash those comments onto YouTube.
Smash
them follow and subscribe buttons. Listen, we're growing this podcast. This is the number one podcast in the world. The world doesn't know it yet, but we know it.
Yes.
And you're a part of that.
Box, if you can.
That's right.
Smash box.
Both for your recycling and your wife.
God bless.
Okay.
Woo!
Well then.
Hey, thanks, Lauren. See you next week.
Hey, bye, guys.